If you know anything at all about Carl Summers Edgar, you'll know about his great devotion to the institution of monarchy, particularly the Habsburg monarchs, but also the kings and queens of the British Isles. I'm reminded of this every time I roll back the answer phone messages in the vicarage, because the code that gets you in is the accession date of King Charles I, king and martyr, as I'm sure he'd want to add at this point. And it is true that when Charles raised his standard at Oxford, the signal to begin the English Civil War, he did it to save the Church of England as he saw it. As the late lamented Linda Patterson, former Dean of Christchurch, used to say, all ordinands ought to have a thorough knowledge of late medieval and Tudor English history, because without that we'll never really understand what it is to be an Anglican or how the Church of England came into existence. And it's very much a tale of kings and queens. Well, of course, there are those in the world today who object to all this talk of kings and queens and lords. Let's remember that Jesus himself is referred to in the New Testament by the Greek New Testament word kurios, or Lord, which is why in the baptism service in the New Zealand Prayer Book 1989, the phrase is used by the worshippers, Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, this isn't a statement of sexist belief in patriarchal structures in society. It's a political statement. In the Roman Empire, this great disparate collection of cultures and peoples brought together by force of arms, the institution of the emperor came to be increasingly important as a binding, uniting institution. And what happened was a kind of cult of imperial personality, which people had to acknowledge by making an act of submission on almost religious ritual lines to the emperor. And most people saw no problem about this whatsoever. This is a kind of meaningless gesture that we all have to do to keep those scary people in Rome at bay. But for Christians, this was a big deal. They could not do it because they had come to regard Jesus Christ as the one who had ultimate authority over their lives, to whom they owed ultimate loyalty. And this is often why Christians were martyred, because they could not make that one ritual gesture of submission to the imperial cult. Well, this today's Feast of Christ the King is all about the fact that we too, in our time, owe him costly acts of obedience and loyalty. But of course, the issues aren't quite as clear cut as they were in the Roman Empire. It's still about rejecting competing idolatrous claims on us that would distort or destroy our personalities, but they come at us in other ways. If we make an act of service to a suffering human being, we're acknowledging Christ as Lord. If we stick up for him or for the church when we hear people denigrating it or attacking it or mocking it, we acknowledge Christ as Lord. When we see an opportunity to commend the faith to a friend or work colleague because they're obviously searching for meaning in their life, we acknowledge Christ as Lord. When we've got house guests, we say on Sunday morning, just going to slip away for an hour or two to go to church, you're most welcome to join me, we acknowledge him as Lord. When people in authority over us, like our employers or our favourite political party, ask us to do something that's unethical and we say no, even though that puts us at risk, we acknowledge Christ as Lord. You could add to the list yourself. These small acts of obedience, often costly to us, help to build up his invisible kingdom and make it a reality on earth. And you know, we're living in a time when living under authority isn't seen as a cool thing to do at all. Freedom is what matters, being a self-actualized person, my rights. But in fact, what we're talking about here is that when we acknowledge Christ as Lord and make these acts of obedience and loyalty to him, we're set free from the competing idolatrous claims in our world that would not wish us well. We are also, when we accept his gentle, health-giving directions in our life, we're set free from being at the mercy of our whims and moods. In other words, the very definition of freedom is being redefined here. And what it amounts to is that we are set free from ourselves, and therefore set free to be there for others and for God. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.